Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got to give a big shout out to Elliot Gatehouse for coming. He listens to Dukes and Bell, and he just won tickets to go see Earth, Wind & Fire, Santana, on Wednesday, August 24th at Lakewood Amphitheater. If you missed Ice Cube, he came on at 5 o'clock. Go check it out. It's on Odyssey.com. You can listen to the whole interview. All right, Grant McCauley is here, our Braves reporter. He is at Truist Park, and right now the Braves are rolling. But we got to start with your thoughts on the Michael Harris deal. I think it came down after the game, and everybody was kind of surprised, Grant. But Mike and I have been, talking about this all day. What do you think about the deal and what it means for the Braves long term?
Well, it means great things, I think, for the Braves long term. Is obviously it locks up another key piece of what could be a great young core for a team that has eyes on winning more than just the one World Series they won last year. And this is just the latest and the next step in that evolution towards keeping that group together. So lots of great things for the Braves. And then for Michael Harris, the kid who was not even 3 full months into his big league career, he has now set himself up financially in the place that he wants to be, with the team that he wants to play for, with the teammates that he wants to play with. And I think there's a lot to be said for all of that. And what it allows to the Braves to do and for Alex Anthopoulos to do, as he referred to Michael, is one of the pillars of this team. And again, 3 months into your big league career, that is some high praise. But if you've watched him play every night, as I'm sure you guys have and I have, this kid is worth that praise, and I think is more than worth this contract. It's a great move for the club.
We spent a lot of time today, Grant, explaining to the listeners, those who don't understand, because it's confusing, you know, the arbitration rules and how you're, you know, obviously you're going to bypass all that and jump right to a guaranteed piece of contract. I mean, we've asked you about, you know, Austin Riley kind of hit a bump in the road and really came on like a, obviously like a house of fire last year. Do you see any weaknesses in Michael Harris's game right now?
No, you don't. But I mean, you look at the history of young players in just about any league. I mean, yes, you can have success. Yes, there will be struggles. There can be injuries. There can be all kinds of different things that are all part of that puzzle. Because for everybody who's the exception to that rule, there's a player that may have a certain amount of success and then, you know, really not have the opportunity to cash in on it as soon as he might like to, might have to wait for free agency. And I know that there's a lot of talk about, you know, betting on yourself and what the market value would be. And, you know, you can look at Juan Soto and feel like, okay, well, that's a guy that's going to get $450 million. But how many Juan Sotos are there out there? How many Aaron Judges are out there flirting with a 60-home-run season going into free agency? That's just typically not the case. So, yeah, you bypass making the league's minimum salary for 3 seasons. You're able to bypass all of those years of arbitration. You do sell a couple of your years of free agency with this deal, and there are a couple of team options. But on the flip side of all of that, you have a chance to play for the next decade where you want with a 9-figure salary, you know, or overall contract. And I think that the pluses far outweigh the cons when you think of the uncertainty that life and sports can throw at you.
It's Grant McCauley joining us here on Dukes and Bell. All right, let's talk about Olsen and that long ball that he hit last night. Now, he is hitting fourth in the lineup tonight. I think he's lived up to the expectation, Grant. I mean, I know it was a lot of pressure coming in. You're technically replacing Freddie, but, you know, he wanted to be himself. I think Matt Olsen's been really good, and last night was just another example of that.
Yeah, and I think that as the Braves have turned themselves into a winning ball club over the past, going on 3 months now, Matt Olson's been central to a lot of that success. I mean, he's started hitting these home runs and driving in runs and having these moments in which, you know, you're going to think about when you're going through a long season and you want to see Matt Olson have success against the Mets. He had a key home run against him in the series last time. And then last night he hit a ball that, as far as I know, may or may not have landed yet off a bounce off the roof of the chop house. So this guy's got, as they say, light tower power. And for him to, you know, come over and start to show some of that right now in this first season and be just one of the pieces of this puzzle, I think that's really all he wanted to be. And I think that that's the expectation that you should have of him, is this is a great player who's going to come up with some key hits and key plays for this club and stick around for a long time. And that kind of goes back to what we started off the call talking about, which was building a winner, a group that's going to be playing together for quite some time, and a group that's playing pretty well together right now.
It is Dukes and Bell live at Mercedes-Benz. It is Grant McCauley live at Truist Park getting ready for the Bravos and the Mets. We spent a lot of time today talking about Charlie Morton. I mean, man, oh, man. Grant, was it because of the busted leg injury that he's now finally hitting his stride, pardon the pun, that this dude is just all dialed in because he was masterful last night?
I don't think it's really been the leg, to be honest with you. I mean, early in the season, would I have thought that a few starts were necessary for him to start to get comfortable again and to start to feel like, okay, I trust this, everything's going fine, and, you know, I'm able to execute the way that I want to, and I don't have to have this even in the back of my mind. I think he's kind of been over that hurdle for a while, but it's just been the touch and feel and the control of that curveball. And, I mean, he threw his curveball basically 50% of the time last night. He threw 97 pitches. He threw 48 curveballs, and the Mets really had no opportunity to settle in against Charlie Morton because he was just eating them alive with that pitch. So this is the guy we've been looking for. He made that adjustment in the way that he attacked this Mets lineup, and he found great success with it. And, you know, we were talking last night. I said if Charlie wants to go ahead and strike out, you know, 10 batters or whatnot, I'd be more than happy to see him do it. This is just a tough lineup to do it against, and he went out and struck out 12 in 6 2/3 innings and gave the Braves exactly the kind of performance that they need in order to be able to compete with a club like the Mets that, you know, is going to be throwing their best two starters at the Braves today and tomorrow.
What about Odorizzi tonight? Jake Odorizzi needs a good start. Let's keep this thing going. How would you rate what he's done so far since becoming a Brave?
I think what he's done so far has not really been an indicator of what he's capable of, and I think that the natural thing, and Brian Snitker talked about this before the game, is that you come over to a new team and you immediately want to succeed and you want to be even better than perhaps, you know, your team expects you to be. That's the kind of impression that you want to make, that first impression. And, you know, there is, I think, a human element that's at play there where you just maybe put a little bit too much pressure on yourself, and that could be part of it. I know the hamstring thing against the Mets, the cramp that he had that forced him out in the fifth inning in his first start against the or first start for the Braves was a little bit of a setback. But outside of that, I really think maybe to simplify things, and as I said yesterday, take a page out of Spencer Strider's book, fill up the strike zone, let the Mets put it in play, let the defense do the work, and, you know, just try to put a quality start out there. You can't worry about what Max Scherzer's doing because Max Scherzer's going to do what he does more times than not. But I think that Jake Odorizzi can concentrate on what he can offer this club and allow the Braves offense to see what it can do against a very tough mound opponent.
A lot of momentum, injuries now for the Mets. Carrasco goes out. Tywan Walker had lower back spasms last night. Already got problems with Guillorme. I mean, they got issues all of a sudden, bumping around. How big would it be if they can knock Scherzer out of the box? As we said earlier, Scherzer and DeGrom are the ultimate backstop for a slump for the Mets. What does it mean, obviously? I mean, they're putting our stamp on this, but Grant, how huge would that be to get the W tonight?
Yeah, I think it's huge because the Mets have not lost a series to a National League East opponent all year long. They have tied 2 4-game series, and that's it. Wow. Otherwise, they have won, I think, all 16 series against their NL East foes. So that's not just the Braves. That's the Phillies and, yes, the Marlins and Nationals who are having a little bit of a rougher year. But the Mets have really owned this division. That's why they've been sitting where they are and why they've had a pretty big lead for the majority of this season. So beating a guy like Max Scherzer, winning this series, is exactly the kind of step along the way for the Braves to try to make this division race a true photo finish here over the last 45 games.
Grant, it's interesting, you know, to think that we're going to have this core group together.
Yeah.
What about as we get towards the Dansby situation? Mike has been talking about this. Will the Freddie circumstances affect that negotiation at all? I don't believe it will, but I want to know what you think and how the Braves are operating right now. And we'll go into the offseason. That's going to be one of the big things they're going to have to take care of.
It really is, and I don't think that the Freddie situation, and knowing that, yes, they are represented or were at one point, you know, Freddie's situation is its own thing that we'll put off to the side, but that's who's representing Dansby Swanson as well. And I think that he's in a different place than, say, Austin Riley or even Matt Olson when he was traded over here, and, of course, Michael Harris, because he is right here on the precipice of free agency, and it is out there. But I think Dansby Swanson is a born and bred Atlanta kid who wants to be here, playing in this ballpark and with this team for as long as he possibly can. So, you know, if he learned anything from the situation last year, it's make sure you dictate where you want to be and have the opportunity to make that a reality. And I think that the Braves, as far as payroll is concerned, they've shown you that they're going to spend. They've shown you they're going to be creative. They've shown you that they have players that they like a lot and they want to have a chance to keep them here. And Alex Anthopoulos was asked about it. Can't really say much as far as the situation is concerned, but it's pretty clear. If you're on this club and you contributed to something like a World Series, they'd like to keep you around. So hopefully they're able to get that deal done and have Dansby around for the next 5-6 years, whatever that looks like, because he's been an integral part of the Braves turning things around since 2018.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.